Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, everyone's a little more rested today, a little more sleep on a holiday Monday. Okay, we're about to start Sif Yud Aleph, which is going to be the second principle, as we finished the first one, Charata. So I was just wrapping up, ran out of time on Friday, regarding the issues of Charata, and we were discussing how Charata is really coming from a place of the greatness of the human being, as opposed from the lowness of the human being. When Charata comes from the greatness of a human being, and is built on the greatness of a human being, as Rabbeinu Yonah has been describing it, so there's a very dramatic difference between that and depression. If a person says to himself, I'm a failure, I'm a nothing, I can't accomplish anything in life, the biggest proof is, look at the last 35 years of my life, you know, that's not charata, that's depression. And all the Hasidic Sforim tell us that that's the worst thing, and Judaism is not looking to get people depressed. Although you could find a lot of religious people are depressed, but they don't understand the way Rabbeinu Yonah wants us to have charata. So depression has no place in Yiddishkeit, because really depression is a denial of a person's spiritual abilities. So charata is not a denial of the spiritual abilities. It's really the greatest proclamation of the spiritual abilities that a person has. Now, might be that, you know, at the same time that we're proclaiming the person's spiritual abilities, you know, we make a comparison as to what we could have achieved and what was achieved. But still, the foundation of charata is based on that tremendous belief of what the person has. And that tremendous ability has. So it's only from that vantage point, really, should charata come from. And any charata that doesn't come from a person believing in his own greatness is only a charata that's coming from the Yetzirah. You could have charata that's pure Yetzirah that will just destroy the person. And any kind of regret that downgrades oneself, and it's not based on the greatness of the human being and his abilities in comparison to what he's done, you know, that is not going to be a condition of spiritual growth, and that's not going to be constructive at all. So the HR works in strange ways. You know, he'll let you do a tremendous tshuva, and he'll give you such charata that you won't forget it for the rest of your life. And the person who thinks he's deep into tshuva is really going further away. Because he's just proving to himself that he'll never be anything. And he might as well give up the Yiddishkeit. Now, Rav Huttner many years ago, Zatzal said in his time already, he said, our generation today cannot build tshuva out of charata. That's what he said. What did he mean? You know, he means that our generations are not strong enough to concentrate tremendously in this area of regret. And what he meant simply was that people have difficulty in making that distinction between the regret that Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about, and they fall into this trap of saying, I'm a nothing, as opposed to the feeling of how great I am, and maybe I didn't live up to what I am. So therefore, he said, you know, people with the wrong notion of charata, it's very destructive. So the degree that a person understands his greatness, to that degree, he can move into charata in a healthy way. And again, we can't minimize our greatness. And part of the charata, again, is because of the great destruction that's caused. And we'll see that as we get into Yagon this week, we'll see where one begins and one ends. But just to imagine, just to a little bit, is if to imagine that you're a person who goes to work, and before you went to work, you drank a little bit too much intoxicating beverages before you went to work, but you still went to work, and I mean, we're not talking where you were like totally out. I mean, you're able to get to your workplace, you're able to function pretty good. I went through the whole day, not bad, not as sharp as he always was, and did most of the tasks properly. You get a couple mistakes during the day, but you know, by and large, he was 95% okay. The problem was he was a pilot. And he made one or two mistakes at 30,000 feet up altitude with 500 passengers in it. Forgot to check, you know, a couple dials and a couple things like that. And end up the whole plane went down. So, I wonder how responsible is he? How responsible was he? Well, I did 95% today. It wasn't bad. So, in a similar way, we have to realize the neshama that Hashem gave us and the potentials that Hashem gave us. And those of you who have learned the Nefesh HaChaim and what every act of what a Jew does in terms of what it can accomplish, certainly in the positive realm what it can accomplish, and unfortunately the negative realm of what it can accomplish. And you can begin to realize why, you know, the biblical nature of mitzvahs is, and punishment is the way it is. You know, imagine a guy who's a good, nice, frum guy, and he goes to davening three times a day, and he learns, and he's a big bal tzedakah, he's got a good family, he pays all the school tuitions, he's mamish, a real good frum balavos. Okay? And then, what happens is business doesn't go so well, he makes some mistakes, and the business is going down. There's a lot of stress now going on in life, and all the places that relied on him for support and gave him covet for it, now his covet is being threatened, because now he won't be able to give support in the way he was used to giving support. He's not able to take care of all his family needs the way he was able to. And there's a lot of stress in the marriage now, because a lot of the success of the marriage depend a lot on how much he was able to pamper his family. And he's really under, and he starts taking loans and this and that, and he figures, well, I'm sure going to be able to, you know, with the new investment, I'll be okay, and things get even worse. And you know, bankruptcy and his whole change of life is going to happen, but very few people, if anybody knows about it, besides his accountant. So he's like really stressed, and you know, he goes to shul one day, and the rabbi talks about, you know, chavis, honesty in business and things like this, and how, anyway, so it wasn't exactly the drush he wanted to hear, and it got him really in a bad mood. And then he comes out of shul, and then he, in a moment of weakness, he pulls a cigarette, he bums a cigarette off of the janitor. You know, he's about to light the cigarette. And one of his chaverim says to him, Moshe, what are you doing? It's Shabbos. I'm supposed to light a cigarette on Shabbos. I can't take it. The stress is so much. I gotta have a smoke. He says, it's Shabbos. You realize it's Shabbos. I just can't help myself. And he smokes a cigarette. And then he goes back home, makes Kiddush. So according to Torah law, what do we do with the guy? If we had a base of Migdash, he'd be stoned to death. He'd be stoned to death from Jew for one weakness. He had a warning. Obviously, had a warning. Right? It's not going to happen today, but in theory, that's what happens. Just one mistake. So did the pilot. So you got to realize, it's, you know, Chil Shabbos isn't like, you know, we think it's like, you know, paying taxes. Oh, you don't pay taxes. You don't, whatever. I'm not saying, you know, when you really have to pay taxes, or better yet, okay, I won't say paying taxes. those in the audience don't understand why everybody's laughing. It's fine. So no, but you know, okay, we'll take another one. You know, you're caught speeding. So what's so bad? You're going on the 401 and you're going 140 kilometers. You know, it's an empty highway. I wouldn't necessarily, did you do the biggest aveira in the world? Okay, so they pull you over, the cop pulls you over, you pay a couple $100. Okay. So, like, what was it so bad? I mean, okay, the law is not so okay, so I didn't do the law. They're not gonna shoot me. Yet, Canadian law, they're not gonna shoot you if you take a lot for it. I don't think there is capital punishment in Canada, is there? No. You can never get killed in Canada. Right? The bigger crook you are, the more you're rewarded in Canada. Right? Become a politician, take millions of dollars, and you get a severance pay the rest of your life. So, but I'm just saying, but because our attitude is, okay, I wasn't supposed, and I did, okay. I'll pay something, please. But in the Torah law, you get killed. Plain and simple. Or let's take another example. I don't think we appreciate it. Let's say you go to Sobeys, and it's Friday afternoon, and the wife is very desperate. She just forgot. She didn't make the salads for Shabbos. And if you don't have the salads for Shabbos, it's mom's, always Shabbos. certain ethnic Jews, if they don't have salad for Shabbos, it's like this mom's no Shabbos. So they rush in, and of course you have to get Bodek salad that's been checked, right, and all this. There's no Bodek salad. There's this other Hechsher that the rabbis have told you that's not a good Hechsher, and you'd have to rewash it. Washing it would take 3 hours, and it's like it's a half an hour to Shabbos, man. So, you decide to take the bag that's not, really good. And of course, right next to you is another friend who was late in preparations for Shabbos. And I say, you're taking that salad? You can't take that salad. It's usher to take that salad. There's going to be bugs in that salad. Don't you remember Rabbi Haber told us that for every bug you eat, it's 5 lavin. It's 5 negative transgressions. So it's Erev Shabbos. What do you want? I got to enjoy the Shabbos. And, I forgot. And it's not my fault that the store doesn't have enough Bodek. They know we need Bodek. So, I'm going to do it. And my husband's going to be very mad if he doesn't have his salad. Because we have to live healthy. The Torah says you have to be healthy. Think he's just going to eat cholent on Shabbos? So the person takes the salad and then they go home and just happens to have very religious friends coming over, and the religious friend is a guest and said, oh, so you have salad. It's Bodek, of course. They ran out. So what is it? Another bread. You can't use that bread. Well, pass the salad, dear. Yes, dear. You can't eat that salad. And they do. Of course, this friend who loves you dearly goes to the Beis Din on Motzei Shabbos. He says, the Schwartzes, they ate salad that wasn't Bodek salad. Beis Din is going to call a person in, find out the truth. They found the truth. What are they going to do to you? They're going to call a doctor who's going to examine you. Then they're going to see how much pain you can take. They're going to take your shirt off. They're going to take a whip, a very hard whip. We're not, get images of those, Indiana Jones movies you've watched. Okay, as a good stark whip, and I get a strong guy, you can see how much can you take, and they're going to whip you. I mean, like really whip you. Whip you to within an inch of your life. Okay? And if you could take it, you could get all 39 lashes. And believe me, the guy is going to take days to recover from that. Why? Chai ve'lavin. Transgress one lav, you get whipped within an inch of your life. So why? What did I do so badly? Realize an aveira is a big thing. It's an atomic bomb that you now have destroyed the world in such a terrible way. Right. So there's what to have charata for. You've caused a lot of destruction on many levels. On the other hand, you don't have to be so gloomy. Because, of course, if a person does a mitzvah, it's the exact opposite. You can, imagine people who have been awarded the Purple Heart. You get to go to the president, and the president comes over. I mean, it used to be a chashuv thing to go to the president. Whatever, you get honored, you become a dignitary. Yeah, you get wherever you go, you got this Purple Heart. I guess it used to be, right? You know, people got these awards, and wherever you go, they give you stuff for free. I don't know, it's like, it used to be an honorable thing. You know, you were a soldier. I'm gonna say, if you do a mitzvah properly, you know how much blessing you bring into the world. It's like you found the cure for a disease. That's how great it is. So our tshuva has to be, the charata has to be built on this understanding that we've caused a lot of destruction. And on the other hand, if we do a proper tshuva, then we can create a lot of blessing in the world. So this is the attitude we have to have in order to begin this process of charata. Okay.
Question, Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
Was that hypothetical, or is there a problem with the other lettuce and sobeys?
I'm not getting into halacha right now. You call the COR, they'll tell you exactly what you should buy, what you shouldn't buy, and follow their guidance. I was just trying to bring a point that if you for sure eat bugs, you've transgressed the law of the Torah, and you would get lashed for it. That's all. The fact, and you know, I think the worst thing of not having a Beis HaMikdash and a Sanhedrin is we don't really think these laws are on the books. Like if you really saw someone getting lashed, you would really make sure that the kashrus was a little better in your house. I mean, you really would be careful because you knew there were really, listen, if there were no policemen giving tickets, everybody would speed. Everybody would drink and drive. Everybody would do these things. You know, the laws are not for criminals. The laws are for honest, law-abiding citizens. That's what the laws are for. Because the criminal will do it anyway. We'll just find a more clever way to do it. We're talking about the guy who is basically an okay guy, and he's in a bad funk, and he would like to drink and then drive. But he knows if he gets caught, he's in big trouble. And he knows he's seen other people, you know, get their licenses taken away, and he knows he's got to go and drive. So those are for the normal people who would fall into a momentary lapse, and he knows the cop's ready to catch him. And he'll get in trouble. You know, on Purim night, you don't drink in Thornhill. If you have any brains. You don't drink and drive. Because you know, on Purim night, the cops are out there. You'd be crazy to do that. Okay, 20 years ago, we could do it. You know, Thornhill wasn't so developed. I remember once getting home, I was driven home by a drunk guy. I didn't realize he was so drunk because I was drunk. I thought he was sober. Then afterwards I was told, you know, he really wasn't sober. I was, really? But nowadays, you know, you just can't, you know, and any frum Jew, you'd be out of your mind. I mean, don't you know they're going to catch you? And if they catch you drinking, it's the worst. So if mamish you'd see a stoning once in a while. You don't have to see one. You know, and see a couple lashes. You know, you'd be awfully careful in what you did. But now, since it's not so obvious to us, many of us, I think, don't even believe it's true. We don't believe it's true. We just believe, you know, I'll clap a few chets on Yom Kippur and everything's going to be fine. And that's what we're relying on that. So that doesn't really work. So that's what he's been expressing, Rabbi Yonah, in terms of the charot. Okay, now we go to the second principle, Ikar Hasheni Aziva Sachet, leaving sin. In Sif Yud Aleph. So by way of introduction, so Aziva Sachet, leaving sin, is like another concept you've heard of, Kabbalah Lahaba. Kabbalah Lahaba is an acceptance for the future. A commitment into the future that I won't do it again. So Aziva Sachet does not mean a commitment into the future, but it means stopping to do what's wrong. In other words, before the level of commitment, Kabbalah Lahaba means I'm committed and I'm serious and I'm never going to do it again. Aziva Sachet is just, I'm not necessarily even committed to not do it again, but what I will do is I'm going to stop doing what's wrong right now. Before that level of commitment, something more basic than that has to happen. After regret, there is a concept of commitment into the future. But before you can commit into the future, you have to stop what you're doing right now, what you're doing wrong. So Rabbi Yonah is going to discuss now the famous question is, what should you do first? What should come first? Aziva sachet, stopping what you're doing, or charata, or regretting? Which one makes sense to do first? So one could argue that charata should come first, that regretting should come first, as it's logical to expect that you must regret doing something before you stop doing the wrong thing. If I don't regret it, why will I stop it? If I think it's a good thing to do, if I think talking in shul is a good thing to do, like many Jews think, unfortunately, they think it is a good thing. It's not even, they don't even feel bad. It's a mitzvah, something you should do in shul. So how are you gonna stop it? Obvious tshuva would mean what? To be in shul and not talk. That would be tshuva. So how are you gonna get to tshuva if you don't even regret it? Right? So you could say that regret has to come first. But there's one problem with that process, which is that sometimes we're not strong enough to well up inside of ourselves a regret as the first step. We're not even capable of regretting it. Why? Because the activity can be so much part of our lives, and we get so used to it, and we're so into it, that it's very difficult to demand charata from ourselves first. Right? If the activity that you're dealing with, that's a bad activity, is one that's become strong, and it's ingrained, and the person, has to demand of himself, perhaps, instead of ziva sachet, to stop doing what he's doing, as opposed to regretting first. And what's the logic? The logic is every time something is done, it becomes stronger. When you leave it alone long enough, it becomes weaker and weaker. The obvious simple muscle is a muscle. We know if you go to the club regularly, the muscle gets stronger because you keep working it. Keep working the muscle, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You go away for just 2-3 weeks from the club, and you go back to the bench press, you're at least 50% down of what you can pick up. And that's where you have the most sports injuries, is when the person comes back and he thinks he can still do what he did 3 weeks ago, and he has to push himself, and that's when you injure yourself. And you have to know, it's been 3 weeks, start off half. And then you work, then it takes a month to get back to that level. So when we talk about sin, it's the same thing. If the muscle of chet, if the muscle of sin is too strong, you aren't ready to deal with the charata that's over there. So the first thing you gotta do is try to weaken the muscle of sin. And the only way you weaken the muscle is by staying away from doing that wrong thing in whatever way possible. You just gotta stop flexing that avera muscle that you got over there. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna avoid the situation. Avoid the situation. Get involved in something else. But whatever it is, just don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore. If a person's talking in shul, how are you going to avoid it? There's only one way. About two ways. Three ways. One way is to not daven anymore. Not daven anymore. But, that might not be so bad. Might not be so bad for a while. A little better solution, would be daven at home. You got nobody to talk to. And then maybe you might be able to concentrate on a few words and realize, hey, I'm really talking to Hashem. The best solution is, go to a place that nobody knows you and where they don't talk in that shul. That's all. One thing will never happen. Go to the shul you're at and to stop talking. That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's too many. Even if you're going to try to, your buddy's going to cover you. Does it mean to say I thoroughly believe I should stop talking? The question is just get out of the situation. You got to get out of the situation. Now, of course, a person would argue that just because you've avoided the situation or you've preoccupied yourself with something else, you really haven't left the sin. And that's true. You really haven't left the sin. But remember, we're going from a practical point of view first. We want to weaken the muscle first. So when you weaken the muscle, it doesn't matter why you're weakening it, how you're weakening it. Just weaken it. Just don't do it. The guy doesn't go to the club. Is it because he says, I philosophically don't believe in working out anymore? Doesn't matter. He could be, he really wants to work out. He loves to work out, but you know what? He's been so busy at work. He doesn't have time. The car broke. This, that. It came out. A month happened. He didn't work out. He loves to work out, but guess what? The muscle's weaker. That's all there is to it. So you love to do certain things, but you know, if you stop doing it, believe it or not, it gets weaker. It gets weaker. People, you know, people who have gone, and this is the issue of cold turkey. Issue of cold turkey. You want to stop watching television, a very simple solution. Throw it out. That's it. Don't even get into the philosophy of it. Hey, just throw it out. Or unplug it, put it in the storage room, lock the storage room, give the key to your rabbi. And tell the rabbi that when you want it, he'll give you the key. Right? Sorry, the rabbi, I'll give you the key whenever you ask for it. And so for a month, you go crawling up the walls. You know, all of a sudden you find, you know, okay, maybe I'll go to the library, I'll read a book, you know, I'll go for a walk, maybe I'll even talk to my wife, you know, and you do other activities, and the month passes, and the drive goes down. And once it's down, the muscle is weakened, the person can now, from a practical point of view, demand from himself a meaningful level of charata. Then he can really regret. He could say, you know, this last month, I spent more time with my kids than the last 20 years. And my relationship with my kids is so much better. And, you know, and I'm not thinking of such narishkeit anymore, etc., etc. And then you look back and say, you know, I was so stupid. Why was I watching television for the last 20 years? You know, when you're in a different place, you can look objectively back and then have the proper charata, right? But when the muscles are flexing and the neon lights are flashing, it's very difficult to deal with charata. There's too much pull. So if you weaken the muscle first, the pull becomes weaker and the charata can play a more significant role. That's one hand. On the other hand, if the aver is the kind of transgression that isn't a part of me, but rather it's a fluke thing that I did wrong, generally, you're a nice person. Generally, you know, you're pretty calm. You know, but certain conditions built up to a point where you screamed at somebody. Usually you don't scream at people. One time your mom just lost it. So at that point, and it's not really who you are, then we could start with charata first. Let's say a person never really watches television, never really talks in shul, whatever. It's one time. He started talking. I don't know how he got to somebody's house and they put him down. He watched the television show for a couple hours, whatever. Right? So, but that person can do charata first. Why? Because since it's not really who the person is, it's never really developed. So the person still has his senses to him. So he can now, you know, work the logical way with charata. You know, and then based on the strength of the regret, you can make sure never to do it again, because it isn't part of who you are. So we'll see as Rebbe Yonah reads, and I will read it through. So it's very critical as we're looking at the things we want to improve on and what the order should be. And this is critical that we, you know, you don't want to fail that much in the tshuva process. So if you're going to start with charata, when you're supposed to start with charata, and then it doesn't work, then you're going to start feeling depressed, because you're not succeeding. So it's important to realize which strategy should be employed where. So if it's an issue, something that you're mamish dovuk to, you're stuck to this avera, there's only the first solution is you mamish have to just leave it. Even if you love it, you have to leave it. And even if it hurts, and that's what you have to do. That's to tell all addicts, if they don't promise to get away from the stuff, they're not going to do anything. I'm going to waste their time. So, you know, it's talking about an addiction to an avera. We have many addicts in Klal Yisrael that are addicted to averas, and you've got to just get away from the avera, even though you don't agree that you rather would do it. So that's what he's going to say inside. So let's read it inside now. Ha'ikar Hasheni Aziva Sachet Ki Yazov Drachav Haroim, that he should leave his evil paths. V'Yigmor B'Chalavavo Ki Lo Yosif Loshuv B'Derech Hazeo, and he has to conclude in his heart and come to the resolution that he will not increase to go back to that path. V'im oven po'al, and if he's done something that's bad, lo yosif, he won't increase. K'inish nemers, it says in the book of Yecheskel, shuvu shuvu midarcheichem haroim, First it says, return, return from your evil past. It means stop what you're doing. And then it says, v'nemar, you know, yazov rush of darko, and it says, and let the evil person leave his path. So you see clearly two verses saying, you gotta stop what you're doing. You've got to stop the path. So that's just the pshat naziv zachet. Again, all Rabbeinu Yonah is doing, I mean, all, is looking what the Navis have been reading, and what are they telling us? He's saying, you gotta stop what you're doing. So now he deals with the issue, what has to come first, charata or aziv zachet. V'dai, you should know. If a person sins, al derech mikre, it just happened. Kishava taiva, he had a lust, came up. The yechzukal of Yisro, of Yiskefeo, and the Yetzirah grabbed a hold of him and overpowered him. Lo nechletzu rayonov v'chushov. Next page, v'figubo, and you weren't able to muscle up enough response against your inclination. You couldn't get your thoughts together. You couldn't get your feelings. You couldn't fight back strong enough. If you weren't able to shout down the sea of less, of lust, and you weren't able to dry up that sea and to calm it down, and therefore the Yetzer was able to confuse you with its tricks. You were caught off guard, as it were. V'nafal b'machmarav, and you fell into his tricks. L'fishat avito, at the present time. V'yoso ruach ha-yetzorah miva'aso, it's because the spirit of the Yetzirah has confused you. V'lo me'asher chefzo u'ritzono limtzo avono v'lasos k'mo achrisos. And it wasn't that you wanted and you desired to find the Avera and to do what you wanted to do. So what happens? So talking about a guy who was caught off guard. So Reishis Tshuva Se'isha Zeh, the beginning of the tshuva for this person is Hacharata. Regret. V'losim yogom b'libo achatoso v'liso nefesh nanu mora kalano. And he should place sorrow in his heart for his sin and to be an embittered soul, bitter as wormwood. V'achrechein yosif v'chol yom yiras Hashem b'nafsha. And then to increase every day fear of Hashem in his soul. You should put the fear of Hashem in your heart at all times. Until your heart is proper in its belief before Hashem, that what? If the Yetzer will come again, if he comes back like the old time, and he comes back with the same force and the same desire to get you to sin, but you prepared for him this time, last time he caught you off guard. Now you had real charat. You said, how did I fall into this? What were the steps that got me into this? And how am I going to build up my fear of Hashem that if it comes again, then when it does come again, say, I've been waiting for you. Because you have to know one thing. Hashem will, what you see from this is, it must be that Hashem will present you with that same situation again. 99% of the time. If you're doing tshuva in your youth, you know, and you're saying, I really don't want this avera, Hashem has to. He has to present you with that same situation. Because the whole point is, the Rambam said, how do you know you've done real tshuva? If you have the same opportunity with the same strength, same time, all the conditions are exactly the same, the desire is the same, everything's the same, and you don't do it. Right? So what does that mean? So logically, it means, So how are you ever going to know you do tshuva? So more often than not, Hashem will present the same situation again. More often than not. And then you're going to see if you've succeeded or not. So it's not like a lot of us think tshuva is, okay, I'm going to do tshuva and, you know, and I feel bad about it. And hopefully I'll avoid it and it'll never come again. There's no such thing. It can't be, because, you know, okay, the avoidance is good, and you're doing the right thing, and it's all good and wonderful, but Hashem's going to want to see, and wants you to see, you know, how good you are in the tshuva, how not good you are in the tshuva. It has to be. It's part, you know, like, you know, sometimes like in university, you take certain tests, and you just hated that course, and you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, as long as I passed, I never have to see this professor, I never have to do this course again. It's like, you don't have to do it. Right? And so as long as somehow I get by it. So I think we think in tshuva, okay, I finally tshuva, okay, I hope I don't see it again. Hashem says, you will for sure see it again. You will for sure see it again. If you haven't really done proper tshuva, you will for sure fail again. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying over here. That, you know, once you realize you did the Aver, and you realize, you know, what it was about, and then you have real Charata, and if you notice, he's saying, and you're continuing to build up that Charata. The Yiras Hashem is building up, and you're putting the fear of Hashem that now you're ready. That if that Yetzer comes up again, like in the old ways, what does he say? Lo yiyeh nifta libo olav v'yazov dorko. His heart will not be seduced this time. And he will leave that old path, and he won't go down that lane again. So we're seeing that charata, you know, isn't an instant process. Okay, I regret it. That's it. I'm not doing it again. It can't be, because you got into the Avera. There were conditions within you that enabled the Avera to happen. What has changed in terms of the conditions? Well, I really regret it. Oh, that's nice. So you'll really regret it again. That's what the Chazal say. The rush is always filled with regrets. You're right. You keep regretting, What have you done? See, but you have to build up, and that's where the other 20 steps obviously come into play over here. But charata, something has to build within the person. It grows within the person. He understands it on one level, then he understands it on a deeper level. Until that charata becomes so strong, and based on that charata, he has the strength to stop to do that wrongdoing. But if you just say, you know, I have to stop yelling at people, so how are you going to stop yelling at them? Well, as long as nobody gets me upset, I'll stop yelling at people. I shall make sure to make many more people upset. So then you've got to come up with a deeper sense of charata. So if it's the occasional thing, then you have the ability to work and strengthen it. You don't necessarily have to, quote unquote, leave the sin, as it were. And that's what he now quotes from Shlomo Melech. Kamo she'nemar, as it says by Shlomo Melech, Umode ve'ozev Yerucham. The one who confesses, ve'ozev and leaves Yerucham, will obtain mercy. So what's the order? Hisker tchila umode. First he says umode. Confess. That's al hacharata v'avidui. That's for charata, that's regret, that's vidui, that's confession. Then it says ve'ozev, and then you will leave it. So you see, that's the category of charata and then leaving. But that's if it's a one-time deal. Next paragraph. Acha ish hamisetzev al derech lo tovo tamid. But the person that's established his path on a constantly not good path, the gevra al chato of dorech b'chol yom v'shona b'ivalto. And the path of sin gets stronger every day. He repeats the transgressions over and over, it's getting stronger, and now you're totally into it. Vishav bimarutzo sol, gam pamim rabim, and this is something that he pursues with great alacrity many times. Uvechol eis oev haraya, and at every moment he likes this evil. Umichshol avono yosim nochach panav, and the stumbling block before his sin is always before him. Ratzoni lo means to say, hataiva vayetza, the drive and inclination, v'chetzu v'gomoso, his desires and his goals. Asher lo yibotzer mimenu kol asher yosam osos, and nothing escapes what he wants to do. His plans always come true. I plan on doing this. Right? And this is where we're talking about this distinction between doing charata or aziva sachet. First, depends on if the sin is ingrained in the person or not. So then the question is, so how do I decide if I'm ingrained in the sin or not? Well, these lines just told you. These lines just told you how you're going to decide. If it's the kind of thing that you don't think about, but it comes to you, it makes an approach, it confronts the person almost by surprise, so to speak, and the person really wasn't thinking about it, and he was presented with a situation, and the situation in itself creates an entire condition which leads to the wrongdoing. So we call that circumstantial. The circumstance arose, you know, that grabbed him and moves him along to the point that he does that thing that's wrong. But if the person finds himself thinking about it and planning, when's the next time I'm going to get to this, you know, it's already, you know, in the situation where it's gone to the planning board and it's gone to the committee, to decide when's the next time we're going to do this, you know, what's the most appropriate way of doing this type of negative behavior, where to do it, how to do it. You're dreaming about it. It's taking up your thoughts, you know, and you find yourself, you know, actually demanding of yourself to be involved in it. Where, you know, in other words, where initially you don't even feel the desire, you know, but you say, you know, I have nothing to do with it now. So now I'll you know, like you have not, you're bored. I have nothing to do. Oh, let me go do that. It's like, I have nothing to do. So let me go do that. I have nothing to do now. Okay. I will now surf the internet to fulfill all my taivas. So you're making conscious decisions and you're booking off time through the day to do that. Okay, so when you're pushing yourself into it, you're planning to do it, that's very symptomatic of this personality, where the aver has become part of you. You look forward to it, you enjoy it, and that's when you know you've gone to that extreme. So for such a person, Rabbeinu Yonah continues, Reishis tshuva se'isha zeh, la'zov darko u'machshavto hara'ah. The first part of tshuva for such a person is to leave his path and thoughts. He has to agree with himself, and he has to accept upon himself that I'm not going to do it anymore. In other words, you know it's wrong. You don't necessarily feel a tremendous amount of regret yet, and you aren't emotionally tied into feeling this regret. But you're still the person that at least has to at least know that it's wrong, and he should say to himself the following. He should say, I don't feel too bad about this. Matter of fact, I really enjoy doing it. But I know, they just read it in the Torah, the last Shabbos, that it's wrong. So because it's wrong, I'm going to stop it. Not because I want to stop it, just because I know it's wrong. Not because I'm emotionally involved in wanting to stop it. Not because I can't bear doing it again. And the truth of the matter is I would like to, but I'll stop doing it because it's wrong to do. And I'll try not to do it in the future. So that's the other level. Now, you know, we have a rule: tafasta b'meruba lo tafasta. If you grab too much, you won't grab anything. Tafasta mua tafasta. If you grab a little bit, then you've grabbed something. So normally that's the rule, and don't grab too much. But nevertheless, over here, such a person has to go to the extreme. Ask Hashima and say that I'm not going to do it in the future either, you know. So okay, so what do you got to do? So the main thing is, don't say I'm never ever going to do it again. Just sort of saying I'm not going to do it today. Say, I'm not going to. If you're going to say you're never ever going to do it, that's too much. Just say today I'm not doing it. Let's focus on today. Today, not tomorrow. I'll focus on tomorrow not doing it. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is suggesting. This is the real way to be able to handle that situation. Let's just finish the paragraph. Then he can do the next step to regret of these alilosav hanishchasos, these destructive actions. V'yashov al Hashem, he can return to Hashem. K'mo shenemar, as it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yazov rasha darko, we say in the Haftarah for the days we fast. Yazov rasha darko, the evil person should leave his way. And the person of iniquity should leave his thoughts. And then return to Hashem, and Hashem will have compassion upon him. So you notice, so Rabbeinu Yonah is very clever. Doesn't need my askama, but before in Mishlei it says you have to confess and then leave the sin. That's the contradiction. It says in Mishlei you have to confess, that means charata, and then leave the sin. And Yeshaya is saying, but he adds a word. Notice, in Mishnah says umod devozev yurchum. But here it's yazov rasha darko. If you already became a rasha la oto davar, you're a rasha for this thing, then it's yazov rasha darko. You gotta leave your way, and then it'll be v'ish oven machshav isov. Then it'll be eventually the man will leave his thoughts. Then v'yashov l'Hashem rechma. Then he'll return to Hashem, and then he could have regrets and come back to Hashem. So that's what we have to analyze. That's the homework in LL. You have to categorize which of the averis that I've done in the past was a one-shot deal, and where are things that are more ingrained. The one-shot deals right now won't make you a Russia, but the ones that are ingrained will make you a Russia. Those ones you got to use a different strategy than the ones that are one-shot deals. Okay, we'll continue with this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.